Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. A lot of the different things that we do when it comes to growing our brands, when it comes to providing our audiences with more content, a lot of the focus seems to be on us doing our work by ourselves, just typing away and taking the time on our own to engage with our audiences. And while it's great to do some work on your own, while it's great to be creating all that content, you could be doing so much more and have such a bigger impact with joint partnerships, which is going to be the focus of this episode. How do we leverage them? How do we build our audiences and make a lot of income with joint partnerships? Because it really opens the door to possibilities. So who's going to be with us today? Well, today's guest, he helps entrepreneurs leverage the audiences of influencers and experts in their industries through joint partnerships. Through startupcircle.co, he connects aspiring and starting entrepreneurs with successful founders for live Q&A sessions. Today's guest for episode 310 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Abdo Riani. Abdo, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Mark, thank you very, very much for having me. I'm very excited for this session.
I'm really happy to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And joint ventures is something that I hold very dearly. It's something that I do often. It's something that a lot of my eyes were really opened to this first by some guy, Matt McWilliams, who he was a guest on the show, so we'll link to that. But I'm wondering if you can give us a background on yourself, why you decided to help entrepreneurs with joint partnerships, and anything else you want to share about your story.
Of course. So, Mark, I started my first venture back when I was a sophomore in college. I'm actually still in college, one little presentation away from completing my PhD. Back then, when I wanted to start something in the tech space, funding was an issue. I mean, I honestly had barely enough funding to fund life at that time. So I had to find a different way to go to market, to test my ideas, to validate my ideas, and to prove that it's a viable solution and it's a fundable product. And that's when I started doing the things that don't scale. So instead of creating a product, I became the product. And we can get into the details of that. But today we're going to focus on joint partnerships. So Let me talk about what happened 3-4 years later. It was actually in the beginning of this year when I decided I wanted to introduce more products and services. I wanted to offer coaching, consulting services. I wanted to sell digital products, but I didn't have an audience. You know, audience is one of the most important things that everyone selling anything on the internet must have, must nurture, must build a relationship with. And for me at that time, having built a lot of businesses over the years, and one of the things I have mentioned earlier is that after my first venture, I started Aspire IT, which is a startup development studio that provides non-technical bootstrap founders with all the needed resources to take products to market by doing things that don't scale. I helped them follow the same strategy I followed with my first startup. That allowed me to get involved in the launch of maybe even more than 50 startups. So I had the skills, I had the knowledge, I had what to offer, but I didn't have the audience to offer it to. That's when I started thinking about different ways to get exposure. And one of the things I did was I launched the Bootstrapping Summit. I know you're a big fan of summits, and we'll talk about that in a little more details later. Through the Bootstrapping Summit, I documented the journey of over 100 bootstrapped entrepreneurs. And my hypothesis was that if I can highlight those experts' expertise and knowledge, then I'm more likely to get their interest and commitment to share with their audience, and as a result, get exposure to their audience. That's exactly what happened. In just about 2 months, I got exposure to about 5,000 new people, new subscribers to my community. And because of that exposure, I was able to successfully accomplish my goal of selling about $10,000 in monthly coaching revenue. And that bootstrapping summit has evolved to, or the connections that I have built through the bootstrapping summit led to different types of joint ventures that we'll discuss in also more details as we continue the conversation. Long story short, by leveraging the audience of other people who have already built audiences, by getting exposure to their network, any entrepreneur can, in my opinion, achieve what I call their 3 months overnight success. And that can be accomplished in many ways. The Bootstrapping Summit or summits in general is one way to do that. Finally, one of the things I want to end my intro with is that a couple of months ago, I launched Startup Circle, and you introduced Startup Circle earlier. So what we're trying to do is provide personalized guidance to aspiring, starting, and even rising and successful entrepreneurs by connecting them with successful founders over daily live Q&A sessions. Today, I run Startup Circle, and I coach entrepreneurs from idea to first paying customers and beyond.
Abdul, that's a really awesome story. That's a really awesome way to get started. And I mean, you've done a lot of different kinds of joint ventures. You've done virtual summits, you do coaching, and you've used the joint ventures to really fuel your coaching. So that's something really interesting to note, where even if you have a pre-existing product or you feel pretty confident with what you're doing, joint ventures can definitely level you up. And I would love to talk a little bit more about virtual summits. So basically, virtual summits, you get speakers, they promote it, you get attendees, some people buy the all access pass. That's like the very basic idea of how that model works. So how do you suggest we get more traction? So like, how do you get a lot of the right people to start promoting the summit?
Sure. So I learned to divide experts or speakers for a summit into three categories, Mark. The first category is those that are less likely to promote, but just having them on the summit is a huge value to the summit. Those are the A speakers. Those are the people that have built a brand over years. People know them, people trust them, and just by having them as one of the featured speakers in the summit, you're going to build credibility and create value even if they don't promote. Those are A speakers. They all will provide a lot of value to the audience through their content. I'm just talking about the promotion right now, so I don't want to offend anyone. Those that fall in the second category are those who are more likely to promote, but at the same time, they provide a lot of intangible value as well. People that have a big audience, and even if you can create them a banner that they can just share on social media and perhaps not promote through their email list, then they can grab a lot of attention through social media only. And then finally, people that are most likely to promote, to email to their email list, to send a campaign to their email list, either through a one or two dedicated emails, even if their email list consists of 5 to 10,000 members, this still will bring a lot of people. That's how I plan my reach out. I like to have 20% of the speakers belong to the first group, 30% of the speakers belong to the second group and about 50% of the speakers belong to the third group. This way I can not only get exposure to the people that I need to accomplish my desired outcome, but at the same time, I can build credibility and create a product that can last, an evergreen product that can generate leads for many months and years to come.
It's interesting you mentioned that speaker breakdown, because not all the speakers promote. You'd like to see all them promote. It just doesn't seem to happen that way. But having certain speakers really elevates the prestige of a virtual summit. And of course, if you get a lot of them to promote, that's going to be more traffic for you. Do you usually just get speakers in on the action, or do you also reach out to non-speaking affiliates and invite them to promote the summit?
I sure do. I, for example, with the Bootstrapping Summit, there was about 12 companies, 12 promotional partners that I reached out to and agreed with to promote the Bootstrapping Summit through one or two dedicated emails. And in exchange, I would mention, well, first of all, they're listed on the homepage of the summit. But at the same time, when I email some subscribers with the daily list of speakers that are going to be coming on, I include a quick description about the product of this partner in at the end of the email. That has actually brought, you know, thousands of people to the summit. And it is purely promotional. There was no money exchanged. Those companies were happy to promote in exchange for the exposure that I provided them with.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you were able to get those partnerships, what those relationships looked like, and if you use that as leverage for more partnerships?
Of course. So first of all, you start with the lowest hanging fruits, right? You start with the people you know, people you've had some sort of connection with in the past, people you've reached out to in the past, you have spoken with, or you can easily get in touch with them and tell them about this new project. You start with those. Now, once you have one or two companies, it becomes a lot easier to attract more companies. And once I had the first three, four companies, then I started reaching out to companies that I thought their products matched the topic of the summit. And I very briefly and quickly and succinctly described what the summit is about and what I propose in terms of partnership, and if they're interested in being involved in it, and that there is no money involved. One of the things that, especially when you're looking after company promotional partners, as we all know, there are many decision makers, many players. You want to make it as frictionless as possible to get their attention. So when I mentioned that there is no money involved and that all they have to do is send one or two dedicated emails, I get to close those who are interested sooner and faster. So that's what I say in the first email that I send them, and also make myself available for a quick call if they're interested in that. One of the things I like to ask at the end of the email is if they're interested in learning more, if they would like for me to send them a promotional partnership deck. It's a 3-4 slide a PDF file that describes the summit, expected attendees, and the nature of the promotional partnership that I am proposing them, and what they are, what they need to do to be part of it. And you know, I just reached out to maybe 30 companies out of the 30, 12 confirmed. Might be 12, might be 15. To be honest with you, I don't remember. About 3-4 expressed their interest in being part of the next ones, and the rest did not respond. So I think that's a pretty high success rate, given that I reached out to them a month before the launch of the summit. Mm-hmm. For mine, for the Bootstrapping Summit, from first interview to the last day of the summit, it took me 2 months. Within those 2 months, I interviewed over 100 bootstrapped entrepreneurs, within also those 2 months, that, you know, the day I started was the day I emailed or reached out to the first person. Just, you know, to be clear that I didn't email them first and start the interviews within the 2 months. Why am I mentioning this? I'm mentioning this, Mark, because anyone can do it. All right. It doesn't require months in management, in planning. It doesn't require thousands of dollars in investment. It doesn't require. It requires time. That's what it requires. And the results were great. Now, I mentioned earlier how this allowed me to accomplish my goal for selling my coaching package and helping entrepreneurs either follow the same approach of the Bootstrapping Summit or also launch new products and services in different ways. One of the things I do with many entrepreneurs is help them pre-sell their ideas. But one of the other benefits, as we both know, Mark, for launching something like this is that you get to meet new people. You get to build relationships with new people. You get to learn from new people. You get to build trust and credibility. And one of the things that the Bootstrapping Summit has allowed me to do is brand myself as a thought leader in the space, which resulted in me being considered for becoming a Forbes contributor, and that was officially confirmed last week.
Wow,
a lot of benefits have come out of this, and I highly recommend anyone to explore launching an online event of any kind in their own space. They absolutely don't necessarily need 100 speakers. 15, 20, you're good to go, and that becomes a product for many years to come. And no matter where you launch it, in which industry you launch it, you are going to see results. I've helped Steve, for example, lately launch the Soil Health Summit. He's a farmer, and he still successfully launched it with thousands of people, and that allowed him to launch his first digital product. So in a nutshell, that's what the Bootstrapping Summit was about. And let me know, please, if you have any follow-up questions.
Well, that's a lot of material. I mean, I've got a few different questions popping up already. I'll start with, so you mentioned for your summit, 100 speakers. That's obviously going to help a lot more when it comes to affiliate exposure versus just having like 30 speakers for a summit. Obviously, 100 is quite the big step if you're first doing a summit, but I'm wondering if you could... I don't know if you have this data because, like, I'm not sure if I would be able to, like, give you clicks or something like that if you personally asked me. But do you know what the breakdown was between how much growth the speakers gave you and how much growth the partnerships with big brands gave you?
The speakers gave more. I don't have the exact number, but I would estimate 70% to 30%.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing about the speakers, and you mentioned 100 right now, Mark. And I obviously, you know, talked about how you don't need 100 people.
Right.
But here's why you won't need 100 people. And that's actually one of my lessons learned. The first lesson is that sometimes, you know, if we think about it from the perspective of the attendee, you know, obviously the goal, one of the main goals, if not the main goal, is to provide value. By providing value, you know, you can get a lot of, you know, benefits in the future. But the goal is essentially to provide value. And when you share with them 100 sessions, 30 to 45 minutes a session, people can get overwhelmed. That's too much content to absorb. Sometimes many of the entrepreneurs interviewed on the summit, you know, have different stories and different approaches and different strategies. And you can listen to one and you're like, all right, I got it. This is what I'm going to do. And then you listen to another one 5-10 sessions later and you're like, oh, this guy completely contradicts what the first guy is saying. And yet he's successful. So who am I going to follow? You know, so that's that. It creates confusion sometimes. Having 100 sessions may be good, but can also have disadvantages. So that's number one. Number two, out of the 100 people that I had, my goal was obviously to get as many people to send dedicated emails. Now, maybe 80% of those speakers promoted on social media, but what I wanted is that people email their subscribers. Out of the 100, Mark, about 20 people only email their subscribers. Now, I could have gotten a lot better results if I had focused on the people that I was almost certain are going to email their subscribers. And at the same time, I could have also provided the audience concise, well-organized information that can that probably would have helped them even more. So one of the things I learned through that project is that I had to be a little more personal in my explanation of the bootstrapping summit of the project to the speakers. For me, I reached out to speakers. I told them this is going to be part of the summit, and I would love it if you would be inclined to share with your audience. Some people answered, yeah, for sure, but for sure for them, for many of them, is sharing on social media only. Some truly meant that they were going to email their subscribers. Others didn't respond at all, and they just wanted to be highlighted. They just wanted to be interviewed and featured to a big audience. So one of the things I highly recommend, and one of the lessons learned, is that you talk about this way before the interview. So for example, Mark, you know, I'll show you different examples of how I am launching different joint ventures beyond the Bootstrapping Summit in a little bit. One of the things I wanted to do is invite you to be part of the next joint venture that I'm doing with another company. Now, one of the things I will be doing is scheduling or seeking if you have a little bit of your time for a quick call to talk about this. And I'm going to try to clarify with, you know, as much information as possible that this is going to require some promotion. I'm going to need your help to spread the word, just like me, the company, and the other hosts are going to do their very best to promote this project. Without it, we won't get people. Now, when I launched the Bootstrapping Summit, that wasn't on the table. In fact, I did not have time. Well, I guess that was my judgment, my own decision, because I decided to do it in 2 months. But if I wanted to accomplish all of this in terms of making sure that people will promote and then interviewing people, you won't be able to do it in 2 months. Take 3 months. But at the end of the day, you will get better results and do a lot less work. Interviewing takes a lot of time than if you were to interview, if to focus on quantity only. Now, if you can accomplish all of this with quantity while organizing the sessions, well organizing the sessions and making sure that people don't get confused and people have organized thoughts and outcomes and learning objectives, then, you know, you can do very, very well. And I hope I did not get too confused here, Mark, and the audience.
I mean, this is really deep stuff. I like that idea of calling people and being upfront, saying, hey, I need help with the promoting. And it's interesting you mentioned about 20 of those speakers promoted, because you usually hear something like 100 speakers, and it's shocking only 20 of them promoted. Sometimes things like that happen, but really being more clear on the calls can make a big difference, get more people who are going to promote. One of the other questions I had from your response earlier was you mentioned that congratulations again, like Forbes contributed, that's a really big deal. I'm wondering how you used the summit to give you that kind of leverage, and if you did it during the summit or after the summit and decided to make the summit evergreen when you made your pitch.
Yeah, so it was after the summit. I've been writing about bootstrapping for, you know, since the beginning of the year, right? Remember earlier I told you since the beginning of this year in January, my goal was to launch different products and services. And one of the things I did was start with the things that I could control. What I can control is I can write. I have, create a website, doesn't take time. And start contributing to your own blog. So I wrote guides that were actually over 12,000 words long, with lots of material, downloadable material, with many resources. That has kind of positioned me as a bootstrapping guy. I went to Quora and answered every single bootstrapping question there was. I believe I answered maybe 60, 70 questions. And then finally, I launched the Bootstrapping Summit. After I had launched the Bootstrapping Summit, then I had in like a package, right? I had a I had what to show to the editors, and I did a little bit of research about what the editors want to see in their pitch, especially specifically Forbes editors. I asked around. I had, again, thanks to the Bootstrapping Summit, I had built some relationships with people who have who are Forbes contributors, and I reached out to them and told them, you know, what are some of the things you mentioned in your first pitch, and what you recommend me say, and who do you recommend me contact? I got a few names, I got a few ideas. I reached out to the first group of editors that I got from many of the people that I had interviewed. I got rejected a couple times, and then finally someone was willing to listen. And even then, actually, Mark, I was surprised that I was interviewed. You know, I thought that the interest was clear through the email. I'm interested. You'd be a great fit to Forbes. And, you know, I'd love to hear more. So we scheduled a call. We had a call. And, you know, for about 30 minutes, I was asked questions about my journey, about the businesses that I started, the businesses I helped start, about the Bootstrapping Summit, about my content, about Startup Circle, about my vision. And then, you know, luckily a couple of days later, I was sent the confirmation. So that's just one of the benefits of launching a project like this, branding yourself as the expert in the space. In fact, when people see you alongside successful entrepreneurs, that instantly sends a positive signal. And that's exactly what happened. So in addition to the subscribers, in addition to the successful launch of my coaching product, in addition to pre-selling an idea for a group mentoring service, I was able to brand myself as a thought leader and get accepted to the Forbes Contributor Network. And I can add that something else to that, actually. Before launching Startup Circle, I reached out to a number of to a small group of people that I had interviewed through the Bootstrapping Summit with the idea, and I pitched them to become partners or sponsors. And I, thanks to that, I pre-sold a sponsorship to Startup Circle way before I had anything, not even a landing page, not even a single interview, not even a plan. All I had was an idea and a vision. The vision was to fill the gap between underrepresented, underserved, and well-represented entrepreneurs through daily live Q&A sessions by providing personalized guidance. And that's all I shared. And that was enough for me to pre-sell the idea. So now, had I reached out to strangers, what are the odds that they would be willing to, you know, discuss this or even answer to my email? Who am I, right? But thanks to the Bootstrapping Summit and other initiatives, I had built that relationship that allowed me to ask for things like this and either get comments or get approvals or rejections, at least as long as you hear an answer.
And it's interesting you mentioned that you were rejected a few times before being a Forbes contributor. And I mean, with the, obviously the focus of this is on joint ventures, but it's interesting how if you want something, you got to keep going after it again and again, sometimes facing a lot of rejection, but eventually getting there. So that's more of a how to get on the media kind of a topic. And I'm happy we're able to touch upon that. And with any joint venture or partnership, you need to have the affiliates behind you. I know for the summit you mentioned you were going out finding these speakers, but what is your approach for finding affiliates? I mean, it's not like, there are different ways to find them, but I'm wondering what your take on it is.
Sure. So, Mark, I don't pitch marketers or, you know, influencers, experts for the sole purpose of getting them to become an affiliate. I have done that once in the past with entreperks.com, which is one of my ventures. We have about $23,000 in combined savings from about 90 of the best products on the market. And one of the ways I wanted to promote EntrePerks is through affiliates. So I reached out to about 105, 110 people with an email pitch telling them about EntrePerks and whether they'd be interested in promoting EntrePerks for, you know, a certain commission. That does not work. What works is relationship building. It's exactly what works. You know, you have to have one step in the middle, and that step is getting them to have a call with you, to meet with you, to know you, to trust you. One of the best and easiest ways to do that is to interview them. I always say experts like to be experts, and the least you can do is highlight their expertise. Just by asking them to an interview, you are accomplishing that goal, and that interview is an opportunity for you to build trust, to get to know them and have them get to know you. Once that happens, then you can go to the pitch. So for me, what I do is I interview the person I want to work with in the future. First of all, make sure we have ample time, because trust and relationship building takes some time. I ask for some of their time for an interview, and I mention why the interview, and usually it's because I'm going to bring them awareness and I'm going to feature them, and I'm going to highlight their expertise to my audience. And once I get their attention, once I get them to an interview, I get an opportunity after or before the call, the recording, to have a conversation with them. And that is the best time to build trust. After that, a week or two later, I tell them about a project that I am launching, or I am building with someone, or I am creating, and seek their interest. If they're interested, I ask them if they have a little bit of time for a quick call to discuss how we're going to be able to promote this, how we're going to be able to, you know, record the sessions if it's a summit, and then finalize it. It's not about quantity, it's more about quality. I could have achieved the same results I achieved with a bootstrapping summit with maybe 20, 25 speakers. But obviously there is not a drawback, but you're missing out on all the relationships that you would build if you interview more people. So that is my approach, Mark, to getting affiliates to work with you on a joint venture. And I can give you one or two examples, actually. One of the projects I'm going to launch in January is going to be with Chris Badgett from Lifter LMS. And we're looking into creating a private online five-day event to help course creators launch their courses successfully. We're going to provide them with personalized guidance, one-on-one. It's going to be 100% live. Now, I had met Chris Badgett through the Bootstrapping Summit. And after the Bootstrapping Summit, after I had built a relationship with them, I kindly asked if he'd be interested in having me on as a guest on his podcast. And he was very happy to do that. And after I completed my episode, one of the things I learned from Chris is that many of his Lifter LMS members have the skills, have the knowledge, have the expertise, can create the course, but don't have the audience. So I told him that one of the things I can do is help his audience follow the steps I followed with the Bootstrapping Summit and other initiatives that I created by building relationships with experts, highlighting their expertise, and leveraging their audience. And he was very happy to promote my product to his audience through one or two emails. And that has resulted in, you know, a few people that I got to help. And I'm going to assume the same thing is going to happen with the project that I'm going to be launching with him in January or beginning February. The same thing is going to happen with Eric from MemberMouse. I'm going to launch a similar project in February as well, or perhaps March. We're still setting up the date. And in fact, I took it even a step further. I went to local chambers of commerce. And one of the things I said is that one of their goals is to get as many people, is to get as many experts to talk to chamber members as they possibly can with the budget that they have. But the budget is limited and the time is limited. And one of the things I propose I can do is to bring experts to talk to chamber members online without having to necessarily come in person, and it will be completely free. One of the things I learned through the years, but especially this year, is that exposure in itself is a big compensation. People, you know, would pay to get exposure. You pay ads, right? And if you can get them in front of people that are more likely to buy from them, and if you can get them to have an opportunity to share their thoughts and insights and experience with this new group of people, then, you know, they're happy to do it. And the chamber was, you know, is fighting for it. They love it. And we're going to launch that in January as well. So I'm going to be inviting one of the people that I have interviewed in the past. This particular chamber is interested in Amazon product launch, and I'm going to get this person to speak live over Zoom with the members. And that is obviously one opportunity for me to talk about my products and services. In fact, one of the things I required is to take 30 minutes before the session, live session starts, to talk about, you know, how I can help people build online businesses and startups. So that's the idea, Mark. You know, you know, joint partnerships is relationship building. Unless you have a huge audience, unless you have a big brand in the space, you can't just reach out to people, to strangers, and ask them to promote your product, especially if you're selling a service. If you're selling a product, a tangible product, whether it's a, you know, a tangible or intangible, it could be a SaaS product, then, you know, they could go on there and could try the product and can test it and can look at their audience and can evaluate the fit, and they can can ask for the, you know, the right margins, and then they can promote. But if it's a service and if they don't know you, then what are the odds that they're going to promote that service to their audience without, you know, trying the service, knowing your experience and the value that people are going to get out of it? They don't want to mislead their audience as well. If you want to build joint partnerships, add one extra step in the middle, and that step is relationship building. One of the best ways to build relationships is to get people to an interview. People like to be experts. All you have to do is highlight their expertise. Asking them to an interview is the easiest way to do that.
That's a really great idea, with the interviews being the main focus. And I mean, a lot of the things I'm getting is interviews, quick calls. And I'm wondering if you could share a little bit what your schedule looks like with all this interaction, scheduling it all throughout the day, and doing the other things that allow you to grow your business in addition to building these relationships.
Sure. So, Mark, I focus on the things that add the most value and that I can control, obviously. So, 50% of my time goes to helping the entrepreneurs that I'm working with. I work exclusively one-on-one. That's what I enjoy the most. And I help entrepreneurs go from idea to first paying customers, whether they're selling a service or launching a product or pre-selling a product, or are looking to leverage what I call the accelerate method, actually, an idea, the same idea of like the bootstrapping summit and others. In fact, I mentioned earlier how I worked with Steve to launch the Soil Health Summit with zero subscribers, with no relationships whatsoever online, to over 1,500 right now, and you know, 30 people. He had met some of his idols, and obviously that's going to lead to other things. We're launching the first digital product next month. So I focus 50% of my time goes to that. 20% of the time that, or I guess the best way, let me explain it a different way. The things that are repetitive, I assign to my assistant. If, for example, reaching out to potential Startup Circle guests, I wrote the script. I wrote the copy of the email. I showed her how to find the speakers. I showed her how to find the email of the speakers and how to reach out. All she has to do is pretty much copy paste, change the name, change a few things topic wise, and then start reaching out to people. And she takes care of that. I don't have to take care of that anymore. I actually only hired her 2 months ago. Now, my other, you know, about 50% of my time now goes to building those relationships. So I'm reaching out to a lot of companies right now. I'm reaching out to a lot of chambers. I'm reaching out to a lot of local organizations. I'm reaching out to podcasts. One of the things I've been focusing on lately is trying to get on as many podcasts as possible, because that's one other form of leveraging people's audience by sharing value to their audience instead of competing for the attention of their audience. That's where most of my time goes right now. And a little bit of my time, unfortunately, a little bit of my time goes to my PhD, which is hopefully going to end in May. I still have one more last presentation I'm going to be needing to defend my dissertation essays, and that's going to be in May. That's how I divide my time, and so far things are moving well, and I'm looking forward to getting as many of those partnerships as I possibly can.
And we've talked a lot about your workflow and some guidance for people setting up to do their first joint ventures, but for someone who's been really successful with them, we mentioned your summit, you mentioned how you've helped some of your clients. What would you consider some of your key habits that have contributed to your success?
When it comes to, is it a general question or when it comes to joint partnerships?
I'd say joint partnerships specifically.
Relationship building, Mark. Really, there is no secret to it. Obviously, the secret is a little bit of communication skills. But other than that, it's 100% relationship building. And I found the easiest way to build a relationship is by speaking with people in person, whether it's online or in person. Obviously, if it's in person, it's even better. But as long as you can have a one-on-one conversation. I had followed different strategies in the past of following them on social media. I still do that. But in the past, I focused exclusively on that, which was follow on social media, share some of their content, comment on some of their posts. Even actually a very good strategy I found is if you buy one of their products, that's a very good way to show that you're, you know, really into what they do and to grab their attention. If you buy their product, they will pick up the phone and talk to you. That I found takes, you know, that process found, I found takes some time. I would rather accomplish many goals in one. Because when you launch a podcast, for example, or an online event or anything that has interviewing in it, you not only get to meet people, but also you get to share valuable content with your own audience as well. So I switched my focus to doing things like that, whether it's through the Bootstrapping Summit or Startup Circle or other projects with different organizations and companies. That is the best way to get to speak with people. That is, you know, if you want to call it a secret, that would be the secret. It's that, trying to get and speak with people.
I love that whole focus on relationship building. It's definitely what has been the main focus for me with my joint partnerships. And just going on the other side, I mean, you've talked about what works. Let's talk a little bit about what doesn't work. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from really rocking it with their joint partnerships?
Mark, some people get shy or overwhelmed or lazy. We talked about many of the things you have to do to successfully launch a joint partnership today, but you know, some people, for example, hear 100 speakers. I mean, that's a lot of calling. That's a lot of reach outs. That's a lot of interviewing. That's a lot of editing. That's a lot of setting up. That's a lot of work. I think most people get lazy and get, you know, perhaps scared, or they get a little uncomfortable. You know, speaking with people or trying to build partnerships like that, or proposing partnerships, And one of the things I like to propose is to start small, like literally very, very small. You can host something like this. You can launch a summit or any type of online or in-person event with three speakers. You can start like that. You can do it a weekend event. You don't have to set anything up. All you need is to get people online at a certain time and use Zoom or other tools to host those sessions. That's the best way to start quickly and efficiently and inexpensively, and at the same time, learn from making small mistakes, learn by taking small steps, and then you can take it to bigger stages, to other levels. So I found most people, you know, struggle to pull a big project off because of many reasons. But when you take it one little steps at a time, you know, you make it a lot feasible for you. In fact, one of the things I do with the entrepreneurs I work with is, yes, I discuss the first 3-5 stages, but I ask them to completely forget the other four and focus exclusively on the first step or the next step, and get it done and get it done successfully. That has helped us actually move a lot faster because people's focus, you know, becomes mostly concentrated on one thing. By following this strategy, I worked with Dion, for example, who's been trying to launch a side hustle for the last 2.5 years and has about 30 years experience in his industry. Within 3 weeks, we went from not even an idea. We defined the idea the first session, idea of a service, right? So we went from interest in launching a side hustle, a service-based business, to first paying customers within 3 weeks only, just by following, by taking one step at a time. Now Jan is generating about 7,000 euros a month, just two months later. He had everything, Mark. He had everything. He had the skills. He had the, you know, the entrepreneurial mindset. He had the energy, the excitement. All he needed was to know what's A, B, C, D, and E. And when I shared those 5 steps with him, when I made him focus exclusively on step A and then step B and then step C, you know, became very clear for him. All he had to do was execute on the first step, do it well, execute on the second step, do it well, and do the same thing with 3, 4, and 5. And the same thing I did with Jono, who is pre-selling a product to enterprise clients, clients that are very hard to sell to, let alone pre-sell to. And so far, he's generating about £9,000 in pre-sales way before he hasn't written a single line of code. Once again, one little step at a time, and, you know, take bigger steps every next step. Same thing for those who are looking to launch a joint venture or a promotional partnership project. Take it one little step at a time. This is your first time. 2-3 speakers, you're good to go. Test it, learn from it, and then take it to a bigger level. But even if you are in, you know, the latest stages of your joint partnership initiatives, you don't necessarily need 100 speakers. If you have 25 people that are in it, just like you're in it, if they're willing to promote it, contribute to it in many ways, you're going to be very, very successful with your launch. That's what I call every entrepreneur's opportunity for a 3-month overnight success.
And I really like that breakdown where, I mean, you have these different steps, but you want to focus on step one and keep going one at a time instead of looking at everything and getting overwhelmed. I definitely like that approach a lot. And when it comes to success, one of the best things you could do is keep learning. And, I mean, that's something you get to do with these interviews. But another great way to learn, at least in my opinion, is to read as many books as you can. So with that in mind, Abdo, I'm wondering if you could share with us 3 books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Sure, I wasn't prepared for this, but let me think a little bit. All right, so the first one I recommend is by Peter Thiel, 0 to 1. One of the interesting things about this book is that Peter shares what he calls the mentality of the revolutionary entrepreneur. Those are entrepreneurs who build new innovative business models that yet to be created. Honestly, it's an eye-opener. The second book I recommend is The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. And just like Peter, Ben is one of those entrepreneurs who was very successful as an entrepreneur and as an investor. And in his book, he takes you through the challenges you'll face as a startup founder and, you know, the solutions to those challenges, how to overcome those challenges. I also recommend reading, you know, Paul Graham's blog. He's got so many insights and ideas and ways to think about building businesses that scale by actually doing things that don't scale. So for now, I'm going to share two books, and next time I'll share two more.
Abdo, thank you for sharing with us those great book recommendations in the blog. We will throw those in the show notes, markbirdie.com/E310. We'll also throw in content marketing secrets as well for anyone interested in driving revenue from the content that they are creating and how do we get people to see our content. That is also something that we talk about in that book. And before we wrap up this episode, Abdo, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Why am I in business? That's a question I ask myself all the time. And, you know, there must be, well, recently we've been hearing a lot about the why and the what of people, actually, not just entrepreneurship. But, you know, once you figure that out, you know, why business? It's something that takes time, takes energy and commitment and persistence. And you figure out why you're doing it, because once you do, then, you know, there won't be any complaining. There won't be any hassle, many people see it as suffering. Once you know why you're in business, you know, it becomes a journey. And once it becomes a journey, you're playing for the long term. Success in business is in my opinion, a, you know, 10-year overnight success, to say the least. So ask why and think about it a little bit.
Abdo, thank you so much for sharing that question and all of the great insights throughout our time together. If you guys want to learn more about Abdo, see what he's doing, head over to accelerate.abdoriani.com. That will be in the show notes. And my understanding is that for Breakthrough Success listeners, there's a free upgrade from the Done With You to the Done With You Plus of your Accelerate program. I wonder if you can share a little more about that.
Absolutely. So for those who are looking to leverage the Accelerate method to get what I mentioned earlier, what I consider every entrepreneur's 3 months overnight success, one way to execute on the Accelerate method is through a summit, through, you know, an idea like the Bootstrapping Summit. And there are many ways to do it as well. I mentioned how I'm building joint partnerships with companies and with local organizations. There are many ways you can leverage people's audience to get exposure to a new audience. For those who are looking to do that, I can help you accomplish it. I can help you execute on it. And I can help you in many ways. I have two plans, the Done With You and the Done With You Plus. The Done With You Plus includes everything you need, literally everything you need to launch this successfully, including copy, including landing pages, including the guidance, including the templates, and all the resources you need to go to market and execute on it successfully. For those who are interested in doing it, for those who are Breakthrough Success listeners, I would like to share a free upgrade from the Done With You to the Done With You Plus. The difference between the two is that with the Done With You, I'll be speaking with you on a weekly basis and guiding you through the process. But with the Done With You Plus, I'll be working with you to make it happen, including the landing pages and all the tech side needed. So either go to accelerate.abdoriani.com, scroll all the way down and type in the coupon code Breakthrough Success, or reach out to me for a quick call at abdurriani.com. You will find the calendar link the moment you land on the page, and we can have a quick call and I can explain more and how I can help you take your idea to market or leverage the Accelerate method to accomplish your goals.
Abdul, thank you so much for sharing all of those resources with us, and once again for sharing all of your great insights. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks for having me, Mark. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.